Glad to be here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Good things are happening. I want to go to the book of Romans chapter 12 tonight. Romans chapter 12. And I want to start with verse 1 and verse 2. Very familiar verses of Scripture. If you're a Bible reader, you've read this, and it just reaches out and grabs a hold of us. Amen. But I feel the responsibility tonight to minister the word of the Lord that will help us. Amen. I don't just grab for sermons, and I don't preach to problems, but I preach the word of God, and the word of God takes care of the rest. Amen. Because the word of God is true. And I'm not here tonight to preach to any problem, but I want to preach tonight to edify and to build up each and every one of us so that we can fulfill the will of God in our lives. Amen. That's the most important thing. When life is over, nothing else is going to matter. Praise God. Nothing else is going to matter than serving God and doing the will of God in our lives. Praise the Lord. Let's read together tonight Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. By the renewing of your mind. Everybody say that with me. By the renewing of my mind. By the renewing of my mind, I'm going to prove, or I'm going to test, what is the will of God, the good will of God, the acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. Amen. I want to do the will of God. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise the Lord. And we must do it. But the battle that we face in each and every one of us tonight is the battle that takes place between your ears. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever position or place you are spiritually in the Lord, the devil will always try to attack your mind. Amen. And I want to preach a little bit tonight about the need for a renewing. Amen. I need to renew my mind. Amen. Anybody else need to renew your mind? I need to renew my mind. Amen. And understand what that means. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for truth. We're asking you to anoint the word of God, asking you to speak to us, help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. I suppose a analogy that I'm going to use here tonight is about the best that I could come up with that would relate to you and I. But oftentimes we find that the things in this world have taken over without notice. Has anybody ever noticed that? That all of a sudden you realize there's a need for your house to be painted. All of a sudden you realize there is a need for this, that, and the other. You realize there's a need to get your grass mowed. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That's an inside joke right there. Praise God. And the garage that you used to park your valuable car in, your $30,000 or $40,000 car, now has so much stuff, and it's usually stuff that you don't even know what it is. Well, praise the Lord. That beautiful, that valuable car sits outside waiting for the next hailstorm to come through. Amen. That closet that you so organized at one time, there's closet monsters, I think, and they come around, and before you know it, you say, how in the world did I get to this place? And I'm preaching to myself tonight because That's what happens to my closet. Amen. And somehow or another, it becomes cluttered with things that I don't ever wear anymore, that somehow or another they have shrunk and they don't fit me anymore. And so what do I need? Probably some of us would say, I need a bigger closet. Amen. Somebody would probably say, I need a bigger garage, or I need a shed out back. That'll take care of my problem, is a shed out back. But the truth of it is that what we need more than anything from time to time is a renovation. Praise the Lord. And I've got a feeling that there are a lot of people in our society that spend a good sum of money just to make room for more junk or stuff. Amen. And I would say that probably it is the same with our spiritual house. Amen. There is the need from time to time for a spiritual renewing of the mind, because the mind is like a garage that is filled with things. It is built and designed so that it will house valuable things, things that we depend on, things that we're going to depend on to get us to our job and to work and to the grocery store and whatever else we need. Amen. And it is made for that. The mind, like a garage or like a closet, is a place where we should house the most important things, the most valuable things in life, the most precious things in life. And of course, we know the most precious thing in our life is the Lord. Amen. Our families, praise God. And the devil will assault your mind, and before you know it, there's going to be all kinds of little things in the corner. There's going to be all kinds of things that are piled up on the desk or on the shelf that you have in the garage or in your closet. And before you know it, you have a need of renovation. Praise God. And we must have a renovation of our mind, or as the scripture says, a renewing of our mind from time to time. And I talked about the garage and the closet. I'm going to cut the young people some slack here tonight, because I've got a feeling, as good as these young people are, they don't have that problem in their room of picking up things and getting things straightened out and making sure that it's all okay. So I'm not going to get on the young people tonight, because I know they're probably already doing the right thing. Dear Lord, help us here tonight. Amen. But much is said about the mind in the scriptures, and as New Testament Christians, as apostolics, born again of the water and of the Spirit, it is the mind, amen, that we need to focus on here tonight, because it is the mind that controls the body. It is the mind, amen, that is so very, very important. And it is the mind, it is the place of your mind that the battles are going to be won or lost. I want to win the battle. Praise God. Anybody else want to win the battle? The only way we're going to win the battle is we must have a renewing of our mind. Amen. It is the control room for the person. Amen. We cannot afford, because of that tonight, to have our minds cluttered up with stuff. And can I say junk as well? Amen. Things that we don't even remember after we placed it on a shelf somewhere in our mind. Amen. But it begins to take up valuable space in which we could protect valuable things and protect them from the things that are outside. Amen. From the garage, the car is sheltered from things that will harm it. It is sheltered from the winds and the tree limbs and from the hailstorms that would come. And it is protected. You can look sometimes on the outside of a garage and you'll see trees that have fallen down or limbs that have fallen down. But you can go to the garage and go to your car and it's completely protected because of the shelter of that valuable, precious place. Amen. Inside the garage, the precious, the valuable, and the costly, and that which will really help you along the way in life, they are protected and they are kept. Amen. And I believe tonight we need to view our minds in the very same way, that it is in the house of our mind. It is in the chambers of our mind. It is in the rooms of our mind. Amen. That we can safely secure the beautiful treasures that God has placed in us, the treasures of the Word of God and the memories of the good things of God and faith and trust and hope in God. Amen. We've got to have a mind that is a spiritual mind tonight. Praise the Lord. Because the mind will determine outcomes. I want to go through a number of scriptures. I could spend the night tonight going through scripture after scripture, but I want to stay focused here, but it just got bigger and bigger as I began to look at this. The Lord gave me this about 3 weeks ago in prayer, and I've just been waiting. Maybe it's been more than 3 weeks, but I've just been waiting for the evangelist to leave so I could deliver this. Praise God. And the mind determines the outcome. It will be the very thing that will determine the direction of your life. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Amen. It will determine the outcome of your future by what goes on in the mind. Amen. The mind has control over our actions. Romans chapter 7 and verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And so we see here that the mind has the ability to determine whether or not we will obey the laws of God. I want to have a strong mind tonight to obey the laws of God and to do the will of God and to prove the will of God. The mind actually is the control room for the body. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, "Among whom also we had our conversation," or our lifestyle, "in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And so here we see that the mind has the ability to fulfill the desires of the flesh. It has the ability to lead us in a direction that is not good for us. Somebody said amen. Amen. It is the mind that controls the body. It is the mind that is able to bring unity. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." And so the Bible talks about a lowliness of mind that has the ability, amen, to esteem others higher than ourselves. Praise God. There is power in your mind. God gave us this supercomputer, if you please, to benefit us and to help us and to strengthen us. Amen. Because the mind also can align us with God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Amen. And so we have the ability in our mind to align our mind with his mind. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. We have the ability to align our mind with the mind of God so that we can link up with Him. We can hook up with Him. Amen. We can be as one. Amen. In unity with Him. Praise God. The mind has the ability to lead us astray. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Amen. This mind that God has given to you and I has the ability to bless, and it has the ability to destroy the individual. Amen. It is the power, it is in the power of the mind, amen, to control our attitudes. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. Praise God. And it comes from a humbleness of mind, a mind that understands and has the ability to comprehend that I was nothing when God found me. Praise the Lord. I was nothing when He filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I'm still nothing today without Him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And it is still a fact today. But if I can align my mind with the mind of Christ, it will control the attitude that I have within my spirit. I hope I'm giving you a little bit of what Scripture says about the power of the mind. Amen. The mind has the ability to be stable. Amen. Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, I'm sorry, wrong scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Praise God. God wants to give us a sound mind. That means a solid mind, a mind that is made up. What we've got to have is a made-up mind. Praise God. Got to have a stable mind. The Bible says that he that wavereth is unstable in every way. We must be stable in our minds. Praise God. And the mind has the ability to be defiled. God help us tonight. Titus 1 and verse 15, but unto the pure all things are pure. Can you get a hold of that scripture there tonight? Unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. And so the conscience, which is an extension of the mind, amen, can become defiled so that we do the things that we shouldn't do and feel like it's all right. Amen. But unto the pure, all things are pure. Praise God. Do you believe tonight that God is in your life? Do you believe that God is pure and holy tonight? Amen. If He's inside of you, all things are pure. All things are holy. Praise God. Doesn't mean that everything is pleasant and everything is right. But I'm telling you tonight, it's how we view the situation that we're facing with right now. Amen. The mind is our storehouse. It is a garage, if you please. It is a storehouse. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Praise God. And so when this scripture was fulfilled, I believe it was Jeremiah that preached or prophesied about this very thing, that when we receive the Holy Ghost, when we are baptized in His name, when we repent of our sins. Praise God. The Bible says that God writes the laws on our mind. Amen. Not just on the mind, but writing them in the heart. The mind and the heart go hand to hand together as well. Praise God. He wants to put the laws of God into our mind. He wants it to be the storehouse. Praise God. A place where we can open the door and go back and remember the Word of God. And remember the laws of God. And remember the love of God. Remember all of the good things that God has done for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is a storehouse. It is a place where God wants to store good things. Praise God. And the mind can be made strong as well. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Amen. I'll tell you what, when you look at a soldier today, an American soldier, he doesn't wear his pants halfway down to his knees. Amen. Well, praise God, but he's girded. Amen. He has girded up his loins. He's pulled his pants up and got the belt around there tight so that he can run, so that he can fight, so that he can maneuver and move himself around easily. Praise God. I'm telling you what, we're living in a generation that in their mind they've got their pants halfway down to their knees. Well, praise God. We've got a generation today, amen, that's sloppy. A generation today that the more sloppy you are, the better you are in style. Unfortunately, and somebody help me here tonight, but unfortunately we see that too much in our religious world today, where the preacher is dressed in blue jeans with holes in it. Amen. And everything looks dirty and down at the heels. Amen. But I'm telling you what, we serve a great God tonight, and we have a great gospel. We have a great Word of God tonight, and we need to present that Word of God with beauty and with holiness and cleanliness. Amen. We're not trying to be like the world to win the world. Amen. We are a light in the world, and we are a city that is set upon a hillside. Praise God. We are a city that is set upon a hillside. We are a peculiar people. Amen. That we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise God. Not only does it have the ability to be made strong, amen, but the mind has the ability to make preparations. Amen. Oh, there's so much to our mind if we look at it in the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." In other words, make some preparations in your life. "For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Amen. And as much as Christ hath suffered for us, amen, we must arm ourselves with the same mindset. Praise God. Meaning that we need to prepare our mind for the eventuality of tribulation and trials and troubles. Praise God. Amen. I was in high school down in Mulvane, and there was a family there. I won't name their names, but the dad was a state trooper, and he was known as being a tough state trooper. Unfortunately, it didn't pass over to his children about the driving habits, and his daughter was out on a country road, and a rabbit ran out in front of her car, and she swerved to miss the rabbit, and lost control of the vehicle. It rolled several times, and she was killed on the spot. And there was a funeral for this young girl who was in high school. And my pastor used to preach about this an awful lot. And he said, you've got to make up your mind what you're going to do when something runs out in front of your car, so that you don't have to think about it right then at the moment, but you've already prepared your mind for the eventuality of a situation that might arise. And I've always remembered that over the years. I remember we were coming through Pennsylvania one time, and the biggest raccoon you could ever think about ran right out in front of our car. It was a big one. It probably weighed 20 pounds or so. And I'd never seen one that big. And immediately my mind said, hold the steering wheel straight, let off the gas, hit the brakes slightly, amen, and if he dies, he dies. Better him than me, praise God. And lo and behold, he didn't go fast enough, and there was a big thump thump, and he was laying lifeless on the road in the rearview mirror. But my family was safe, and I was safe, praise God. We were coming home one time from El Dorado in an old pickup truck. It was an F-250. It was a hefty one with a big motor, and it had a steel grill in the front. And we were coming down Haverhill Road and crossed the railroad tracks on our way to Augusta. Some of you might know where I'm talking about. And we were doing about 55 and crossed the railroad tracks, and lo and behold, a herd of deer were crossing the road, one right after another. And I thought again, what am I going to do? Well, I've already made preparations in my mind for what I'm going to do. I let off the gas, I hit the brakes slightly, and I held the steering wheel straight, and it wasn't a thump thump underneath the truck, but it was a loud bang that took place. And the poor little doe, she fell off the front of the truck and slid into the ditch, and we just kept on going. Amen. And the truck was big enough that it didn't do any damage to the truck, and just kept on moving, and we were saved, amen, because of something that was prepared in the mind. Praise God. The Apostle Peter said, think it not strange. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Praise God. Got to prepare in your mind before it ever happens. Amen. Somebody said in a book called Happiness is a Choice, you might find it and read it. It's a very good book. One of the things that was said in there about happiness was that you need to think about your situation and think about the worst thing that could happen in your situation, and then decide in your mind why that wouldn't be so bad. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, the mind has the ability to prepare for things in the future. Amen. And finally, I'm probably wearing you out already here tonight. Amen. The mind, and most importantly here, has the ability to be united with other minds. I want that to sink in for just a minute. Amen. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Amen. That's in the Word of God tonight. That's the commandment of the Lord right there. Praise God. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Amen. Thank God when people are of one mind. The president years ago, when I was just in grade school, made a famous speech, and he said, we want to put a man on the moon within 10 years. He didn't get to live to see the fulfillment of his dream, but in 10 years, they spent several billion dollars. And it took about 400,000 people working on the engineering aspect, working on the building of this, the testing, and all the things that had to take place. 400,000 people put their minds together. They had one goal. They had one thing that they were reaching for. They had one thing that they were preparing and planning and working toward. And praise God, they put a man on the moon. And he had a computer on board that's not as big as the computer in the oldest of your cars. Amen. They navigated in certain ways. They had to run calculations over and over again with the computers that they had that were not really as fast as the computers that we have today. But because they united their minds together, they were able to put a man on the moon. And not just once, but many times they landed on the face of the moon. Praise God. The reason that we don't see as many things happening in our space program is because they are not united in their mind anymore. Amen. They're trying to figure out global warming. Amen. Trying to figure out all kinds of different things, and they don't have one mind. Amen. Let us be of all of one mind. Praise God. It's something to reach for. It's something that we need to develop in a group setting. Amen. There are many other scriptures that I could use tonight to talk about the mind, but the writer said in the text that we read tonight that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God by the transformation and the renewing of the mind. Amen. The word transform there means to transform or to metamorph or to change. It is really the same word that describes what happens to a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Amen. Over the course of time, it is not an overnight situation, but over the course of time, the caterpillar is born, and then it wiggles around on all of those little feet that it has, numerous feet, and it goes around like a little worm, and it's eating everything, and actually can be quite destructive because of its appetite, and it eats and eats and eats and eats, and then when the season changes, all of a sudden, it knows somehow to make a cocoon, and it wraps itself up in this cocoon, and there it hangs off of a tree until the springtime comes. Amen. It hangs there, and as it's hanging there, it's developing, it's changing. It is becoming something that it wasn't before, and that's what the word transform means. And so when it is transformed in the springtime, all of a sudden there's a shaking that takes place. All of a sudden there is a movement in that seemingly dead cocoon, and wings begin to emerge, and a completely different individual emerges from that cocoon that it has been in through the seasons. Amen. That's what the Lord wants to do with each and every one of us. That's what the Lord does individually. That's what the Lord does collectively. He wants to change us. We are changed by the Spirit of God from glory to glory. It's not a one-time situation, but it is an ongoing situation. Well, praise God. The great apostle was writing the scripture text tonight, and he was writing to the Romans. You know where the Romans lived? They lived in Rome. Amen. It was to the Christians that were in Rome. And if you look at the atmosphere that was there in the time of the writing of the apostle Paul, you'll see almost a mirror of our day today. Of course, they didn't have cell phones and they didn't have automobiles, but they were very mobile and they were very powerful. They were the premier army of their day. They were very prosperous. They were very much blessed with the goods of this world. Amen. And so he writes to them, and he's concluding the book of Romans here to these people, and he says, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And that's what it takes to live for God. That's what it takes to do the will of God. Amen. Is that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's not just for one or two. That's for every one of us here tonight. And to be transformed and be not conformed to this world. In other words, open up the garage door and start taking stuff out. That doesn't look like a car. Amen. It's like somebody said, how do you chisel an elephant out of a rock? And the man said, just take away everything that doesn't look like an elephant. Amen. And that's how you do it. Praise God. And that's how you clean out the garage. You just take everything out that doesn't look like a car, and before you know it, you'll have room for the real thing. Praise God. And what we must do if we're going to be saved and if we're going to do the will of God, the good will of God, the acceptable will of God, the perfect will of God, is we must get into our mind and begin to take out things that are not of God, that God has not approved. Amen. Anything that does not look like Jesus, we need to take it out of the garage. Amen. And renew transform that place by the renewing of the mind. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. And he's writing to these people who are very affluent. They're very rich. They had modern conveniences, many modern conveniences that you and I have. They had so much available to them. Praise God. And so he's writing to them. And he's writing to them because they were very affluent and they were very rich. Amen. There's something about having more than enough that fits into this message here tonight. And I began to think about that, and I thought, why does it seem that the poor countries of our world seem to have a move of God? And here in America, it's become a very difficult thing. And I began to think about that, and I began to ponder on that. And something came to me. It's because in a poor country, they don't have a whole lot to put in their garage. Amen. They don't even have a car, and so they don't even have a garage. Amen. And here we have so much that the only place to put it is to that convenient place. Praise God. But what we got to do is keep the car parked in the garage so there's no room for other stuff to get in there. Praise God. And if we do that, then we'll always have room for the car in the garage. I want to preach to us tonight. We've got to get some things out of our mind. Amen. That clutter up the Jesus that needs to be parked in our mind. And the Word of God that needs to be parked in our mind. Because without a mind that has Jesus in it, we'll probably not be saved. We certainly won't do the will of God and fulfill the cause of God in our lives. Poor people don't have a lot of clutter. They don't have a lot of things. And what we've got to see is that all of us are poor here tonight. Amen. We don't have anything but what God gives us. Can you say amen? Amen. I know we have a president today that wants to make our country great again. I appreciate that. I do. But as I begin to look at it here tonight, Rome is really a mirror of America. Rome fell from within. It did not fall because somebody came at it. They fell from within. They became decadent. They became immoral. They became barbaric. They became Oh, there were so many things going on in Rome. There was no way for it to survive. And I want to just say tonight that we don't need to make America great again just because of political matters. And thank God for freedom that we have, and thank God for the blessings of America. I appreciate everything that I have in this country, and I think that we all need to be thankful for our country. Amen. We need more than just to make America great again. Amen. What we need more than anything is for all of the minds of some 300 million people in America to come together in unity under the banner of normal stuff. Amen. And understand that there is right and there is wrong. Praise God to understand that what we need more than anything is unity of mind in our country. It does not bring any positive things when we are in disunity in our country. And that's what we have seen over a long period of time. Amen. What we need in America is a renewing of the mind. What we need in America is the Word of God. And I've got to be honest with you tonight. I don't have a lot of hope for it. I don't have a lot of belief tonight that many are going to embrace this. I pray that it happens. And everyone that I can, I talk to about the Lord. And I think that we all need to do that. Praise God. But don't be weary in well-doing. We're just living in Rome. Amen. And what we must do is present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. To prove the will of God. To do the will of God. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day. And the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was smitten and burned with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until there was no more power to weep. Amen. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, for every man for his sons and for the daughters. Amen. Sometimes in life we find ourselves in these situations. But I believe that David made it through this time of difficulty in his life. And I go back to that part of the mind where we can make preparation. Amen. David probably had thought about matters, because he spent a lot of his time, a lot of his life running for his life, not knowing what tomorrow would behold, not knowing what situation would rise up within him or his ranks. Amen. And David probably had thought about it a number of times and said, you know what, if I lose everything, I've still got the Lord in my life. If I lose everything, amen, I've still got the Lord to lead me and to guide me. And you know what? He's never failed me yet, and I don't believe that he's going to fail me this time. Amen. They spake of stoning him. The Bible says he was greatly distressed, meaning that he had a tremendous amount of stress right now at this point in his life. And people were talking of stoning him. That's not very good for someone that's in leadership. Amen. That's not a good place to be if your people are talking about stoning you. Amen. But the first thing that David reached into was not his physical ability. It was not intimidation. No. But I'll tell you what it was. It was his mind. Amen. David reached first for his mind. And the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. How many of us have done that here tonight? Amen. When the devil comes along and situations come along, amen, that we stop and we go to the chamber of our mind and we pull out the good things of God and we pull out the blessings of God and the power of God and the love of God. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And then when David had reached into his mind, then the ability to act came into play here. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Praise God. God's on the winning side. And what we need to do is get connected with him. Amen. Get connected with his will and his purpose and his plan for our life. Amen. I wish you had helped me here tonight. I really feel like the Lord gave this to me several weeks ago. But there are times when it seems that the enemy of our soul has the upper hand, and it seems like your faith has been stolen. Amen. The precious things have been taken away. Amen. What we need is a renovation of the mind, a renovation of the heart and the mind and the spirit. Praise God. And this pivotal verse is the one where decisions are made, where the old way remains, amen, or it goes, where faith prevails or where unbelief prevails. And it happened in this mind of this great man, David. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Praise God. David strengthened himself. The word encouraged there means to fasten upon, to seize, to be strong, to cure, to help, to repair. David strengthened himself. In other words, David cured himself. He helped himself. Did you know you can do that? You can help yourself. You can hurt yourself too. You can help yourself. David helped himself. David repaired himself. Praise God, because he began to think about the Lord. He began to think about the good things of God. Amen. And he began to think about the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Romans 8, verse 29. And I'm going to finish with this here tonight. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? When we understand tonight that we were predestined, the call of God was predestined for us. There was a call of God in your life. Amen. Before you were ever born. Do you believe that tonight? Brother Brown, Deontay Brown, God had a plan for you before you were ever born. Melissa, God had a plan for your life before you were ever born. And I could go around to each and every one of us here tonight and make that very same statement. Amen, because it is true. But them who he did predestinate, that would be all of us. Amen. It says, them he also called. But the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. Why is that? It's because the call of God is exciting, and many people just stay with the call of God, and they never get a hold of the rest of it. For whom he called, them he also justified. There's more to it than feeling conviction in church. There's more to it than coming and feeling the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues a little bit. Well, praise God. There's more to it than just having a position and doing something in the house of God. What's going on in the mind while we do the will of God? Amen. Them he called, them he justified. I can't just come and sit on a pew. Amen. I've got to be motivated by my mind and my spirit and by the word of God to get up and say, Pastor, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. I want the Holy Ghost. I want God to fill me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And God's going to fill some people here tonight with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'm not saying necessarily in this service, but he's going to do it because I see some people coming to the altar and praying and seeking after God because they have felt the call of God. Amen. And those whom he calls, he justifies. Amen. We're born of the water and the Spirit. Our sins are washed away. Praise God. But there is more to it. To whom he justified, them he also glorified. Praise God. There is a glorification. Amen. There is a spiritual aura, if you please, around us that the spirits of hell can see and feel. Praise God. When you walk into a room, you can feel the spirits of hell. If you can feel the spirits of hell, then get a hold of this. The spirits of hell can feel your presence as well. Praise God. And when you understand this, that through renewal, the old garage looks new again, you can drive up to your garage. You can drive up there and push that button, and the door comes up automatically, and you just drive your car in, push the button, the door comes down, and you can be protected in style. Praise God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8:35. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we don't conquer other people. If you do, you're just fighting a losing battle. We are in this to conquer ourselves. How can we do that? By the renewing of the mind. By the renewing of the mind. Amen. And he goes on and says, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us but our mind. That's the only thing that can separate us. Amen. I want to start something new here in the church. I want to start something new. And I've been thinking about this for some time, and I just want to do it here tonight. Can we stand together right now? I want to do something different. I want to start a weekly fast. Now, I expected everybody to shout and run and jump and all of that. I want to institute a week of a day of fasting every week. Praise God. Somebody smile just a little bit. But it's going to be worse than fasting food. Praise God. It'll be a lot worse. Some of you may get the heebie-jeebies by doing this. but we're going to fast one day a week of our media, the things that go into our mind. Wow, praise God. I can tell right now some of you are about ready to stone me. But go ahead and cast your stones. Amen. I'm telling you what, I don't have it with me here tonight. There's a whole lot of junk on the shelves. There's a whole lot of things that's keeping the car out of the garage. And what we need to do is renovate regularly. Praise God. And then once a week, and I think, I don't know what would be the best day, but really I don't think we ought to pick the best day. I think we ought to pick the worst day for it. And I just think Monday's a good day. No video games. No internet, except what you do on your job. Praise God. No Facebook. Somebody's saying praise Lord because they don't do Facebook. Yeah, I don't think you even have a computer, do you? All right, praise God. Are y'all getting the gist of it? No Instagram, no FaceTime, none of this things where this information, no Fox News, no CNN, which you shouldn't be watching anyway. None of those things, but we can listen to the Word of God. You can listen to the Word of God on your phone. Amen. You can listen to preaching, but that's it. How many's going to join the pastor in this? I'm getting ready to clean out some things in my mind. Every week, Monday, we're going to start tomorrow. How about that? Say, well, pastor, I take blood pressure medicine and I can't fast. Well, you can fast on this one. Praise God. And as a minimum, we're going to fast one day a month from food and media. Praise God. And those will be, we're not going to do that on a church night because it'll be worse than it is here tonight. Praise God. But I'm telling you, we've got to have a renewing of the mind. We cannot do the will of God, the good will of God. Everybody said the good will of God. The perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. And the acceptable will of God. Amen. Only way is the renovation of our minds. Amen. Well, I guess that just about does it. Praise God. I'll tell you what will happen in your personal life. In your personal life, you're going to turn that carnal caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly. And you'll take that garage. I come to the church often, and there's a particular street here. And I can tell just as I drive by what the inside of the house looks like, because I can see the outside of the house. I saw the door opened one time as I was passing by, and there was a walkway through the house, and there was nothing but stuff piled up high around that walkway. We lived in Massachusetts, and just down the street, my son went, and I believe he was mowing the grass for this lady. And she brought him into the house, and she had newspapers, and they were stacked high. He said they were stacked high in the house, and there was just a trail through the house and to get to the places that she needed to be. And I said, oh, that's such a fire hazard. And unfortunately, a fire did break out in the wintertime in that house, and it burned so quickly that the lady could not get out of the house, and she perished with her junk. She perished with those things that were worthless. Amen. What she could have had was a good fire alarm system. What she could have had was just a little bit of time each week to say, you know what, that newspaper's not going to be worth anything. But sometimes we get the idea, well, maybe in 50 years that thing will be worth something. And during the course of that 50 years, praise God, we realize that it's really not worth a whole lot. We should have got rid of it a long time ago. Amen. And I'm going to have to renovate my shed where all my tools are. When you're working, it's hard for me anyway to keep everything organized. And I've almost come to the place where if I haven't used it in a year, I'm throwing it away. Now, I know that scares some of you because you're thinking, well, maybe I'll use it. Or what if? Well, praise God. I got to have room for some other things, some precious things, some valuable things. Amen. And it's the same with the mind. Praise God. Let's love Him together. Can we do that right now? In the name of Jesus, Lord, I give You thanks today for the blessings. I give You thanks, Lord, for all of the treasures that You have put into this earthen vessel. Oh God, You put it into my mind. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's talk to God. The reason it's hard to worship is because there's so much clutter in the mind. The reason it's hard to touch God in prayer is because there's so much clutter in the garage. And He's just put up on a shelf somewhere, and the garage is filled with so many, many things. God, help us. There's only one thing that's important, and that's serving God and doing the will of God. Help us tonight. Touch us tonight. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we come to the front? It's still early. Let's come to the front tonight and make a commitment. Make a commitment. I'm going to make a renovation project out of my mind. And I may not be able to get it done in one day a week. I may have to take 2 days a week and spend some time getting that room cleaned out, getting that garage cleaned out. But it's worth it because I've got some precious things that I want to put into that room. Amen. Come on, let's make a commitment right now. Everybody, why don't you just make that commitment tonight? Oh God, I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may do the will of God, that I may do the will, the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God in my life. I can't do it by standing on the sidelines. I can't do it by being involved in so many, many other things. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us, touch us, draw us near.